You know, God has different ways of expressing the message, amen? And you know, it's very true that God uses visuals often, doesn't he? And symbols even, to communicate to us. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you look at a piece of artwork and it just really has an impact on you. You know, just the visual itself. And sometimes when I go, like, to a Christian bookstore, which is hard to find anymore, but they used to have them, and you go in and you look at some of that art, I'd almost break down sometimes. I'd be so moved by the message and the visual together. And I know, unfortunately, some people have taken that to the extreme where they worship the symbol. But the symbol actually is just to kind of orientate us to, you know, the, if you will, a type of the message that we're presenting. So God speaks in types and shadows, you know. So symbolism, the lions that we have here, speak of who? Jesus being the lion of the tribe of Judah and the lamb, amen, of God. The first time Jesus came as a suffering servant, as the lamb, amen, as our sacrifice. The next time he returns, he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming to rule, amen. He's coming to reign, amen. There is not going to be any more mocking in that day or spitting or pulling of the beard. Jesus is coming, amen, and he's going to rule, hallelujah, with a rod of iron over the nations. Hallelujah. In that day, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and today we will confess Jesus Christ, amen. Hallelujah. I believe in my heart what I confess with my mouth. Jesus Christ is my Lord. How about you? Hallelujah. So don't ever be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, amen. It is life. This gospel is the message of salvation, isn't it? Hallelujah. The fact the gospel says is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. It's interesting how God chose the preaching or the spoken word to save the lost. Interesting that Jesus, in the beginning with the Father, was the Word. He was with the Father, amen, in the beginning. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word of God became the Son of God and revealed the heart of God to humanity. Jesus said to Philip, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father also. He, in Colossians, tells us Jesus is the express image of the Father. Amen. So if you want to know what God is really like, amen, you need to know Jesus, amen, who is the express image of the Father, who reveals God to us. I said this before, but you cannot learn God. God must be revealed. You need a revelation of God by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. So when the Spirit, the Holy Spirit reveals God to us, amen. So it's okay to, we need to learn and we need to study, amen. But the purpose of our learning is not just to be more educated. The purpose of our learning is so that we may know him, amen, in his person, and not just know a lot about God. See, there's a difference, isn't there? There's a lot of people that know a lot about God, but how many really know God? Well, I'm getting to know God. How about you? It's a process. I'm getting to know God, but there's a whole lot I don't know. But blessed are the hungry. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Amen. Because thirst is a sign of health. Amen. If you lose your appetite even, it usually is a sign that you're not feeling well. So if you're not hungry for the Lord, it means there's probably something going on there that's making you ill. Or maybe you're filling up on the wrong things. And you have a false sense of satisfaction from the junk food of the world. Well, today, hallelujah, I want to visit something that maybe you may feel is very elementary, but how many know we need to continue to look back into the law of liberty, amen, back into the Word and recalibrate, refocus, and get recentered sometimes? Because if we don't continue in the Word of God, then we can forget. You know, I have found that to be true in my own life, and it's kind of like when the Lord says, I want you to come together, I want you to gather, I want you to be in fellowship. Well, if we don't do that for a period of time, we can actually forget what it was like until you come and you have fellowship again and you're like, oh yeah, now I remember. Oh, that's what I'd been missing. How many are enjoying the time we're having together today? You know why it's so enjoyable? Because Jesus is here. He's the one that makes it. Amen. If it's not about Jesus, we might as well shut the doors and go home. Amen. And turn on the boob tube or something. But we've got Jesus here with us today. Hallelujah. He is our honored guest. He's the center of it all. And he needs to continue to be that in our own personal walk, our personal lives. Hallelujah. He's the solid foundation of our lives. So turning your eyes and keeping your eyes on him, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, when anyone turns to the Lord and true repentance, they are brought into a transition from death to life. Amen. They enter into life and they become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the power of sin is actually broken in their life. When one is born of the Spirit of God, the power of sin is actually broken in your life. Did you hear that? The power of sin, if you're a Christian today, if you are born again, if Christ is in you, the power of sin is actually broken in your life. It no longer is your master. Sin is no longer your master. You've come under new ownership. We're under Christ now, amen? He's the head of our lives. Hallelujah. He's the one we submit to. But God is wanting to bring us on this journey with him to reveal to us true identity in him, who we are in the Lord and who he is in us. And as a child of God, hear me, we've been given the authority, John 1:12, to as many as received him, to them he gave what? The exousia, authority or the power to become the sons of God. That means as a son, we've been given delegated authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now listen, that is true if you're a child of God. You can tread on serpents and scorpions. But before we can do that with success and safety, what we need to do is take control of that other nature that tags along, amen, that wants to dominate us. It's called the sin nature. Amen? That's right. You have to consider or reckon yourself what? Dead to sin, but alive unto God. So you have to deal with the sin nature, and it has to be put to death. You can't coddle your sin nature. You can't make deals with your sin nature. You can't patch up the sin nature. You must destroy the sin nature. Put it to death daily. Don't let that part of you, amen, rule you anymore. How many would agree with me that we have the potential as children of God to choose to sin? Has anybody beside myself sinned once you became a child of God? Did I have to? Did you have to? No. Because the power of sin has been what? Broken. So we can't say, God, well, I couldn't help it or the devil made me do it. Now, the devil will try to tell you that you can't help it. He'll try to convince you that it's greater than your God. He always tries to magnify the lie, the evil, to make it look bigger than it really is. You know, that's the enemy's a liar. And if he can get us to believe his lies, then he can defeat us already in our minds. If he can tell you that that habit, that addiction, that problem is too big for God, well, then if you start believing that, guess what? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The grace of God is released where there is confidence in his grace, where there is faith in his grace. God releases the ability for us to overcome if we believe him for that. If I believe that sin has been defeated in my life, then I live free. If I don't, if I accept the identity the world wants to label me with, well, I'm an alcoholic. Are you? Are you in Christ? If you're in Christ, you're not an alcoholic. You're a new creation. You're a child of God. And no longer are you subject to sin. Now hear me. As a new creation, as a child of God, you're no longer subject to sin, but you must continue to resist sin. And that's biblical, and I'm going to share with you why I say that. So, yes, I'm free from it, but I still have to stand against it. I have to resist it. That's what a temptation's all about, amen? If it wasn't tempting, it wouldn't be a temptation. But the devil presents something attractive, usually, you know. It's kind of like, how many ever watched Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? You need to repent if you did, but no. What was that wicked witch with a pretty candy apple, remember? Isn't that an illustration of how the devil does? He just presents things that look so pretty, so attractive. But they didn't realize that the apple was poisonous until after she took a bite of it, amen? And so, likewise, the enemy wants to dress up sin and make it look something desirable. But if we can understand and discern the source of that offering, now think about this. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he wasn't tempted with bad things, but is actually being tempted with good things. Well, you're hungry. Turn these stones into bread. Well, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. How many know they already belong to Jesus? What was happening is God is our protector. God is our provider. Amen? God is our comforter. God is the one that takes care of us. What we need to ask the question is, what is the source of the offering? Oh, I just got a great job offer. Okay. Well, you've been praying for a job? Yes, I have. Did you get confirmation that this is God's answer to your prayer? Or could this possibly be a good thing that's going to be used to distract you and get you off course? Do you understand? The enemy will give good things to people sometimes as a way of getting them off course. We need to ask the question, is this really from God? Just because it's a good thing doesn't necessarily mean it's a right thing for me. If it had a high dollar amount, oh, that's got to be God. Not necessarily. Well, if it's the path of least resistance, this has got to be God. Oh, there's no suffering in that offering, this has got to be God. There's no self-denial in that walk, this has got to be from God. Are you hearing me today? A lot of times without even realizing it, we're taking the path of least resistance. We're looking for the comfortable route, not necessarily the right route. And you've heard it said before, but in order to be something, you're going to have to go through something. There's going to be temptation. There's going to be trial. But what we do in the midst of that is very important. Again, we are free in Christ Jesus from the power of sin, but we have to learn how to successfully resist sin. So how do I successfully resist sin? Now, let's face it, sin's consequences on our lives is devastating. But it's going to be unimaginable for the one who causes others to fall into sin. We have to be very careful how we live our lives because I don't want my life to somehow cause somebody else to stumble into sin. Can you say amen to that? And so Jesus said in Matthew 18 and verse 6, but if you cause one of these little ones who trusts in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. He said in verse 7, what sorrow awaits the world because it tempts people to sin. Temptations are inevitable, but what sorrow awaits the person who does the tempting? Now, let's go back to the beginning with Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3, when the two were coming to present their offerings before God. It says in verse 3, when it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. And so the Lord said, why are you so angry? Why do you look so dejected? He says, you will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door and eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master. He says, if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out, because sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. Now, God would have never told Cain that unless he had the ability to master sin. Unfortunately, Cain allowed his sin nature to rule him. And you know the story as it went. He went and murdered his brother Abel. It was the first murder in a jealous rage. So not only did Cain fail to master sin, but guess what? Everyone else, everyone in this room, all of us have failed to master sin in our life. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came and overcame sin for us, so that in Him we would be able to overcome our sinful nature. In Christ, I am able to do all things, amen, by the strength that He supplies me. If I trust in myself to live above sin, I'll never live free. If I'm trusting in God's grace and God's ability to live free, I'll continue to be free. Why? It's what you believe and who you put your focus on. If your focus is on your own ability to save yourself or to live holy or to live clean or to live righteous, then you will never live clean or holy or righteous. If your confidence is in your God who supplies you the ability by the power of His Holy Spirit, amen, then if your confidence is in His ability, then you can walk in the freedom that Christ has already provided for you free through His own precious blood at the cross. So though I may be free from sin, I still have a responsibility to resist it in my life, to master it. And how do I master it? Well, the master's in me. The master's in me, Christ in me. Amen. I have a choice to make. I'm going to say yes or no. When the temptation comes, what do? I don't look at the temptation. I look at Jesus. I say, Lord, help. God, I need Your grace. Lord, I need Your strength. I need You right now, Lord, to help me with this. Amen. How many of us fret over things and get upset over things and you know, we're having a hissy fit? I don't know where that word hissy came from. We'll have the Greek interpretation later, but a hissy fit, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like God's kind of just standing there waiting for us to stop. You know, God's not going to move until we stop and we straighten up. Amen. Change our attitude. And we just start calling on Him. Say, okay, Lord. How many of you know God wants us to turn to Him every time and say, Lord, how are we going to do this? How are we going to get through this? It's not how am I going to get through this. It's how are we going to get through this? There's a big difference there. You're not alone in this. God is with you. God is for you. And God has the grace that you need in every situation, not just some. There's no temptation that has taken you except what is common to man. Amen. God is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation, He will make a way of escape. He's our escape. We call on the Lord. His grace is sufficient for us. Amen. In that time when we're being tested, God wants a people He can trust. God wants a people that will not bow down to their enemy. Amen. If you are in an army, amen, you don't collaborate with your enemy. Amen. You've got to take your enemy out. You can't be in bed with your enemy. Amen. Like Samson was, in order to defeat your enemy. Amen. You've got to be opposed to your enemy, and you've got to be in it to win. You've got to be in it for victory. You have to have an attitude that says, I'm going to win. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to do this. I'm going to defeat this enemy. I'm not going to coddle my enemy anymore. I'm not going to play patty cake, if you will, with the devil. I'm going to put him in his place because Jesus Christ has already defeated you and he's authorized me in his name as a son with the authorization to destroy the works of the devil. Come on, somebody. But how many know that if you've got collaborators and you've got people that are compromising with the enemy, it weakens your ability to fight the enemy. You see, in the areas, if we want to be compromising in those areas of our lives where, you know, God says no, but you said, I'm just going to kind of like, it's only a little sin. It's only a little thing. You know, God would understand. I can always repent later and ask God to forgive me. How many know that there are consequences for rebelling against the Spirit of God? That's true. God will forgive you if you truly repent. Amen. If you're contrite and you repent, God will forgive you. But how many know that sometimes when we are failing to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and we do contrary to the Spirit of grace, what you're doing is you're opening a door wide for the enemy to come in and establish a stronghold. When the Spirit of God is saying, don't look at that stuff online. And you say, it's no big deal. Everybody's doing it. A little gaze won't hurt anything. That's what the enemy wants. Just go ahead and crack the door. Just let me have a little bit so that he can come in and then establish a stronghold. And now you need deliverance. Now it's gone up a step. Amen. It's no longer, God help me. God says, you need deliverance now. Come on. You need to cast the devil out sometimes. I know some people have a problem with that, but I'll tell you what, I've cast the devil out of some Christians before because of compromise. He'll infest your soul. He can't have your spirit, but he'll get into your soul to the point where there are manifestations. And you gotta break that thing. You gotta be willing to say, God, I gotta cut with the old life. I gotta break out of this cocoon of what was of the past and the old life. And I need to spread my wings and fly in the freedom of Christ. Amen. On wings as eagles, if you will. Trusting in the grace of the Lord. But he said, you gotta subdue it. You gotta master sin in your life. Well, of course, Jesus did that for us. Sometimes people want to make excuses. I get that. You know, it's still by grace you are saved through faith. Even though people will abuse the grace of God, they'll make excuses of why they're going to indulge their sin nature. But there are consequences. There's a price to pay. And believe me, it's worse than you think. At the time, we're not thinking about it. We're thinking, oh, it's no big deal. But then later on, we're like, man, what was I thinking? Anybody beside myself know what I'm talking about here? I'm only human. How many remember that song? Goes back a few. That was my BC years. I'm only human. Well, about this guy cheating, you know, and having an affair. And so his excuse was, well, I'm only human. You know, if you're in Christ Jesus today, you're more than just human. You're superhuman. You're superhuman because you have the supernatural God in you and you have the ability by his grace to overcome any human temptation that may come your way. There's no excuse because I'm no longer under the authority of sin. Amen. It's no longer my master. I'm now under new ownership. Hallelujah. And I've been set free in Christ Jesus. So what does God command today? God commands that all men everywhere repent. Amen. He has appointed a day in which he shall judge the world in righteousness through that man whom he has ordained. And who is that? That's Jesus. And he's given assurance of this in that he has raised Jesus from the dead. There's coming a day, amen, where we're going to see the Lord. And all people need to understand that they need to repent, turn away from the devil, turn away from the world, turn away from the sin nature, and commit themselves to Jesus Christ, amen, and begin to walk in the Spirit. God gives you the ability to live in freedom. Amen. God gives you the ability to live above the world, the flesh, and the devil. Hallelujah. Why? Because my confidence is not in me, but in Jesus Christ, amen. He is my confidence. We need to be not self-confident, but Christ-confident. God wants all men to be saved. How do I successfully resist sin? Number one, Cliff, you're already on it, man. You're jumping ahead on me here. So it says, Romans 6:11. What? Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you're in Christ, then you're dead to sin. It's no longer your master. You're no longer subject to it. Amen? So we need to consider that our present state in Christ. The devil will try to lie to you and tell you that you're not free from it. If we believe that, then we will live in it. You will worship what you fear. If you fear your sin, you will bow to it and you'll continue to do it. If you believe somehow your addiction is greater than your God, then you'll continue to live as an addict. Why? It's what we believe determines how we live. What we believe determines what we receive. And what we receive determines how we live. So I believe I'm a new creation. I believe I'm set free from sin. I'm no longer under that dominion of sin. I'm under Christ. Amen. I'm under new ownership, and I can do all things through the Lord, who is my strength. Second thing you got to do is besides considering yourself dead or reckoning yourself dead, you have to present yourself back to God. Very important. It's not just having the right mental state, but it's being very deliberate about presenting myself, giving myself now over to the Lord, placing myself under His authority, amen, being now subject to the Spirit of grace, obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit, walking with the Lord every day. I have to be deliberately presenting myself to God. Romans 6:13, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So in other words, just change direction. Where I used to serve sin, I used to serve Satan, now I'm serving the Lord and His purposes. I'm deliberate about it. I willingly present myself back to God. I give myself back to Him as an offering. Say, Lord, how can I love You back the rest of my life? That's what it's about, loving God. You need to know that your sin nature is subservient to you. You need to know that that sin nature is something that you can conquer in Jesus' name, and you have to be strong with it. You don't coddle it. You don't play with it. You deal with that part of you that rebels against God. We're in a war. You can't be playing with your enemy. Amen. He just wants to get in there and he wants to mess you up. Romans 6:14, here it is. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. It's by the grace of God. Paul said it this way, 1 Corinthians 9:24. Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. Run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step, Paul said. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline. That means to keep under or subdue my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. You have to master sin. You have to take authority over that sin nature and put it in its place daily. And the best way to do that is by building up your spirit, feeding your spirit, man. Amen? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Feeding on the Word of God, worshiping, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen? Stay filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. And all of a sudden you'll find that what used to be a struggle, it's like I say, it's going from a handsaw to what? A power saw. Before I was really trying to live a Christian life. Now it's like zing. Because of the Spirit of the Lord, it enables us. You get it? Yeah, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But you got to be under that yoke first to have that lightness, amen, that comes by the grace of God to be able to live free. Hallelujah. I'm not always wondering, well, I'm going to lose my salvation. I'm going to fall away from God. Am I going to? Let's just walk with Jesus. You're not concerned about that stuff. Amen. You've got confidence in your heart. Amen. Life is good in the God zone. Stay in the zone with God. Amen. And God gives you the grace every day. That's why you come to Him and say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. God, I need provision for this day so that I can live above the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. And to put that sin nature in its place so I can walk free in the Spirit. Amen. And life and peace that you've offered me. And so you've got to discipline yourself, he's saying. There's a discipline to the Christian life. Can you say amen? You've got to discipline yourself. You know, in the time of Jesus, if a master was to coddle a servant, what would happen is that servant would disrespect the master and begin to disobey the master's orders. How many here have been an employer before? How many here have ever been employed? Maybe both, right? Okay. How many know that there are certain people that if you've been an employer, that they're going to test you? You know what I'm talking about? They're gonna test you to see if you're gonna put your foot down where it needs to be down, and you need to establish those boundaries and say, these are the rules. We live by the rules here. You do good. You get promoted. Amen. You get an attaboy. But if you violate those rules, there are consequences. But if you're not clear about who you are, where you stand, and what the rules are, if you kind of blur the line and you try to coddle and just make everybody your buddy, I mean, sometimes it's not fun being a boss, is it?
No.
Right? Because you want to be everybody's buddy. Well, guess what? It don't work that way. Because there are certain people that will abuse that. Your grace. Amen? And so, at the time of Jesus, my master had said, you know, well, I'd really like you to do this. Well, sometimes they used to say, well, no, don't think so. Now, how many know that your sin nature, that old man, is like a spoiled brat kid? He resists the Spirit of God. That old part of you doesn't want anything to do, amen, with God's will. And this is really where the battle is. The enemy is trying to prevent you from living out the will of God for your life by getting you to obey the sub-nature, the lower nature, or the outer man. And so what we need to do is we need to establish the boundaries and say, sin is illegal, period. There's no room for the devil. There's no sympathy for the devil. There's no coddling my sin. I'm not going to pet the thing. Amen. I have to put it to death. Because God has given me the authorization to do so. Sometimes you got to rebuke yourself. Anybody ever done that? Just kind of say, hey, straighten up. Don't do that. Sometimes we've got to rebuke that nature in us that wants to rebel against God. So even though we're free, we still have to resist sin. I mean, at least in the world that I live in, there are still times of temptation. The enemy wants to come along. And this is the thing what I said earlier, is every temptation is not necessarily something bad. Go out and slap that person or hurt that person or steal from that person. It may be, hey, just a job offer. It may be just take an easier route. Avoid the cross. Take the easy path. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't do that? Do you understand that the devil was tempting Jesus? Save yourself. Take yourself down from that cross. Save yourself. Well, what's wrong with that? It was a horrible thing that was happening to him. The problem is the source. Amen? It was the devil. Sometimes we may be thinking, well, that's God, when it's not. How many have heard the stories of people saying, well, God told me to do it. He told you to do that? Believe me, that's not my God. You're listening to another voice. And sometimes it's even a good thing about helping somebody when you really shouldn't be helping them. If you've got an abuser, you've got a user, you've got a person that needs to be responsible for their own life and their own actions and start taking responsibility, come on, somebody. And you just keep enabling them and helping them and enabling them and helping them, you're never going to help that person get out of the pit. Sometimes the best thing to do, the loving thing to do, is to have some tough love and say, no, resources are dried up as from this point forward. You're going to have to get up, get off your butt, and get a job. I got one shout over that. Do you understand what I'm saying? We don't like to make waves. We want to be politically correct too, don't we, today? Because we feel this pressure to conform. Because if you're not a conformist, then you're going to be the oddball and people aren't going to like you. Come on. So the easy path would be just to kind of go with the flow. Right? And even though it's an easy path, how many know it's a wrong path if it's in rebellion to God's will? We have to make the decision when we have to discipline ourselves to only obey the Spirit of the Lord. And we have to deny that other part of us that would rebel against His instructions. Colossians 3:5 says, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. He says, you used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. Who's he talking to? He's talking about believers. He says, you're no longer a slave to sin. You're no longer a part of this world. So why would you indulge those things that you're actually free from? Why would you serve that old master when you're under new command? Amen? When you're under the freedom of Christ to walk in what? What did Jesus say? He set us free from sin, but not just to be free from sin, but free so that way we can serve Him. Amen? So we can do the opposite of what we used to do. I was wishing we had more time, but, you know, God says overcome evil with what? With good. God says bless those who curse you. So how do you successfully resist sin? One of the ways is that you actually do the opposite of what the devil will tell you to do or what you used to do in your old life, in my old chrysalis life, or my old worm life. Amen? I've got to break out of that old shell, that old pattern of things and the way I used to do things and ways of thinking. Amen. I got to break out of that and I got to leave it behind and I got to enter into the new life and I understand my new identity as, if you will, a butterfly. Amen. Hallelujah. As spreading its wings now and living free in Jesus' name. Amen. Not free to sin, but free from sin and the power of sin to serve the Lord. You can't serve two masters. If you want to serve sin, you can't serve the Lord at the same time. You got to make your mind who you're going to serve. As for me and my house, Paul said, you know, if you used to steal, start giving. You know? If you used to slander and gossip and hurt people, start speaking well of people. Amen? If you used to be a bully, start defending someone who's being bullied. Do the opposite. Overcome evil with good. Hallelujah. There's so many examples I can use, but there's this thing that's saying, you know, I have a choice to make who I'm going to serve every day. I'm going to serve the Lord, or I'm going to serve that old nature. But when I'm walking with the Lord and I'm listening to His voice and we're doing life together, I'm yoked with Jesus. I find His yoke is easy, His burden is light, and there's joy, amen, in my life because the Lord is my joy. He's my strength. Hallelujah. And I'm not walking around wondering if God still loves me or if God's mad at me or you know, if, am I going to hell or, you know what? I'm living with a confident assurance that God will do what He said He will do. And God can keep that which I commit to him against that day. And if I commit my soul to him and every day I give my life to Jesus every morning, amen, just say, Lord, I give you my day. Hallelujah. I pray your kingdom to come and your will to be done this day in my life and through my life. Amen. I ask you, Lord, for my daily provision. Hallelujah. And Lord, if there's any sin in my life, I ask you to forgive me and to cleanse me from it. Amen. Blot out those transgressions and purge my iniquities. And God, I pray that you deliver me from the evil one. Hallelujah. And lead me in your paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Hallelujah. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's what I accept. That's what I receive. Amen. I have righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. I have joy and love and peace and goodness and gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, all that God is. That's what I have in my life, because if I have him, I have the complete package. I am complete in Christ. I have to live in my new identity, and I need to completely ignore, shut off any part of that old life, that old chrysalis, that old shell, cast it off. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on Christ, amen, and make no provision for the flesh. Oh, come on. I pray, Lord, clothe me in your full armor. Clothe me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, right? Clothe me in your full armor. Hallelujah. Encapsulate me in you. Praise the Lord. I don't have to go through and dissect that. God knows what you need. Well, Lord, I put on the helmet of salvation. I put on the feet, you know. No, just pray, God, I just need you to clothe me, encapsulate me. Amen. There's something to be learned of the different parts of that. But what I'm trying to say is that what you need and what I need is Christ. To have victory, to have freedom, amen, to enjoy abundance of life, amen. It's not an abundance of stuff, abundance of toys. It's not even having it my way. Abundance of life is Christ in me. He is my life. And if you want to have an abundant life, it's going to be in the will of God for you. If you want to have a satisfied life, it's going to be in the will of God for you. You're not going to find satisfaction anywhere else but in the purpose for which God created you. And he's placed you here with purpose. Every one of us here has been called, has been given an assignment of God, amen, to live for him. Hallelujah. Amen. To be salt, to be light, to be world changers. Hallelujah. We are to be about our Father's business. We are to go about just like Jesus did. Amen. Doing good to all. Hallelujah. We're also to go around and destroy the works of the devil. Amen. And God's given us the ability to do that. He's given us the power of his Holy Spirit. If we will call upon the name of the Lord, there is deliverance. When you're tempted, hallelujah, who do you do? What do you do? You call on Jesus, right? Call on the name of the Lord, and whosoever does shall be delivered. Hallelujah. Resist that devil as you submit to God. Amen. Submit yourself to God. And then when you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor. Amen. Every day you can do that. The Lord is with you. He's already set you free. You're not a slave to sin. You're not a slave to fear. If the devil tries to give you some fear, amen, what do? You claim the merits of Calvary, you claim what Jesus said about you. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear is illegal to me. Amen. Let the love of God be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Praying, making music in your heart to the Lord, staying in the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. How many found that there's a confidence that comes when you're full of the Holy Spirit that you don't have naturally? Amen. Hallelujah. See, I don't need to get stoned. I don't need to get drunk because I have the Lord. All I have need of, I found in him. Hallelujah. He satisfies the deepest longing of my soul. I tell you what, there's no going back. There's nothing back there that I want. What is the world really? Does the world ever satisfy? How many have tried to make, again, I said it in the beginning, this world a paradise? Well, you may have a good day, you know, a day when kind of everything is free from problems. But how many know that God wants you to go deeper into him so that no matter what happens in your day, your assurance rests in him and not in your circumstances? Your day is not going to be determined about what happens externally, but who dwells within you internally. You have that relationship. You have that connection with Jesus. Amen. And you have a peace that passes all understanding. My understanding says, oh, it's bad. But the peace of God says, it's not a problem. I've got it. I've got it handled. You're stressed out. Cast your cares upon me. He said, don't worry about, oh, what are we going to do about our finances? Don't worry about it. He says, I got that covered too. Just seek the kingdom of God above everything else. And all these things I'll add to you as well. Don't worry about those things. People that don't believe God worry about those things. If you're God's child today, you shouldn't be worrying about your finances. Instead, get into rest. Get on your face before God. Amen. Spend some time. Get into that place of peace with God and rest and listen to His voice. And guess what? God wants to speak to you. God wants to tell you exactly what you need to do. He'll give you an instruction. And God has a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. How many of us have experienced that already? You've been in a place where you didn't know how you're going to get through it. But when you prayed and you got out of stress and you got into rest, and all of a sudden God starts to download something. And He gives you wisdom. He gives you instruction. He says, I want you to call this and I want you to do this. Amen. And all of a sudden you find yourself looking back at a problem that seemed to be so impossible. But now it's like, that was what I was so stressed out about. Time with Jesus changes everything. Spend time in His presence. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden that problem that was so big is now so small. It shrinks in His presence. How many came this morning maybe with a heavy heart, stuff going on in your life? Just being honest, you know, you've been dealing with some stuff. Well, I can join you in that a lot of times, okay? But when we come together and we get into the presence of the Lord together, it's like, man, it's good. It's such a good thing to be together with God's people in His presence. And it's the presence of the Lord that lifts up that burden off of me. It takes that heavy load off and brings me into His rest. And guess what? You don't have to wait to come to church to get there. Amen? You have been given access to His throne of grace. Hallelujah. We need to change our attitude and say, you know what? If I'm depressed today, I need to say, this is illegal for me. I need to say, the devil will come along and say, guess what? Today, you're going to be depressed. And we're going to say, what are we going to do? We need to resist it. We need to fight. And they say, no, I refuse to be depressed. Instead, I claim what Jesus has said and what He has promised me in His word, that I have righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. But where is it found? In the Holy Spirit. Amen. So when your life is filled with Jesus, you're filled with peace. You're filled with joy. You're filled with love. Guess what? Where the love of God is, there's no fear. There's a confident assurance that comes when you're full of the Holy Spirit. So you got to fight that outer man that wants to tell you this, because the enemy works through that outer man, that soul man, amen, to tell you, oh, you're this or you're that, or you're no good, or you're ugly, or you're stupid. Oh, I may never heard those words before. Of course, I never heard the ugly thing. I look at myself every day and say, boy, what a masterpiece. You're supposed to say, no. Boy, is he deluded. Lord Jesus, we just love You and thank You and appreciate You, all You've done for us, Lord. Thank You for freedom today. Thank You that we are a new creation. Thank You that the old has gone, the new has come. Thank You that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, that I do have righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, that I do have perfect love where there is no fear. God, You have been my confidence. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If God be for me, who can be against me? Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. I receive Your truth, Lord. Your word is my guide. Hallelujah. That lamp to my feet. Glory to God. We love You, Jesus. And we thank You, Lord. Your promises are yea and amen in the Lord. Everything that You said, everything You said You mean, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I am no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Hallelujah. Don't let that enemy put that yoke on you again, amen, and lie to you and try to talk you out of who you are in Christ. Who Jesus says you are is who you are, and that is what you accept. Anything that comes against that is illegal for you. You are a child of God in Christ Jesus, amen. If you're not born again, if you're not saved, you need to surrender your life and give your life to Jesus Christ, because what the Lord has, He can save. What the Lord has, He can keep. And what the Lord has, He can bless and multiply. Hallelujah. So give Him your heart today. Give Him your life today. If you've been away from the Lord, just come back and say, Lord, I give my life back to You. I recommit my life to You today. Lord, I determine that I'm going to live for You, that I'm going to live for Your will. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord.